Hey, this is John Bolger with Premier Guitar. We are under the stage of the Justin Timberlake Man of the Woods Tour, and I'm with Mike Scott, his guitar player. Mike, thanks so much for joining us today.
Glad to be here. Thank you, bro.
What a treasure, man.
Yeah.
Bring us through some of these amazing guitars you're carrying.
Well, there's quite a few acoustic guitar segments during the show, and I play a Martin GPA CP1, I believe it is.
Wow.
Beautiful guitar, amazing
beautiful
sounding acoustic.
Guitar.
Yeah.
It doesn't look very traditional Martin-ish.
They did a partnership with Fishman
to
do the acoustic, the electronics in this guitar.
Oh, that makes sense.
Sounds amazing. I also play Paul Reed Smith acoustic guitars as well.
Oh, great. So when you're running it, are you running your acoustic through a certain amp or a DI?
Yes. I'm running into a Hughes & Kettner Era amp. It's an amazing sounding acoustic amp, a little tiny package. And that thing sounds amazing. What's the wattage on that thing?
Era 1.
Era 1.
It's like 200 watts.
200 watts.
Wow.
And it's right there. You can take a look at it in a minute.
Great. Okay, cool. That was a sorry little aside, but I had to know.
Speaking of acoustic, I run, I also use a Paul, this is my main go-to
axe.
It's a Paul Reed Smith Hollow Body 2. And I'm running acoustic and electric at the same time.
Oh, through that bridge.
Yeah, that proprietary bridge. And I blend the acoustic as needed, but it's always on. And you can switch it off or on. And I play this guitar quite a bit.
Wow, do you get a fairly convincing acoustic tone out of it?
Oh, it's amazing acoustic tone.
Wow.
Yeah, sometimes we use that instead of a real acoustic, sometimes.
Yeah, so, okay, great, that's cool.
I also do quite a few guitars by Gibson, and this is one of my favorites. It's a Gibson Shred with a Floyd on it.
Oh,
you don't see that every day.
No.
Beautiful axe, you know, it's workhorse, you know Gibson.
Yeah. Gotta have it.
We all know Gibson.
You gotta
have one. I do a Paul Reed Smith, a Neil Sean. This is Neil Sean's signature by Paul Reed Smith.
Oh, wow.
Also with a Floyd. This thing breathes fire. Yeah.
Nice. It's got the sustainer on it, right?
Not this one. No.
Okay.
No. We had some custom stuff done to this one.
Yeah.
Which I'm not gonna tell you.
Okay. Professional secrets, I get it.
That's also one of my go-tos. And then I have these Eric Johnson Stratocasters. Now these are unique because you see there's no middle tone knob. There's a bunch of little fancy toggles there. Look at that.
Wow.
Yeah, this thing's a beast.
What? Do you want to reveal what those are doing?
No, I cannot reveal that. Because this is a secret to my tone, to my strat tone. Let's just say it sure looks good and it's got a push-pull pipe. It sounds amazing. No, this is by Jim Tyler in Los Angeles. He does Tyler guitars and he did this custom setup here for me. Yeah.
Okay, that's great.
Now, I also use quite a few guitars by Godin.
Oh, wow.
This is. They're Fifth Avenue Limited. It's got TV Jones pickups. This thing sounds amazing.
Beautiful.
It's completely hollow body. Run distortion through it, no feedback. It sounds amazing.
Wow.
And it looks great, doesn't it?
Yeah,
it's
love that.
It's a silver gold kind of finish.
Yeah, very kind of Elvis Presley. That's great.
This is the guitar Elliot had made for me from a custom luthier in Memphis named Kevin Ferner. Ferner and Hillbolt used to be. This guitar is amazing.
Wow, beautiful.
The craftsmanship of Kevin Ferner's guitars is amazing.
Well,
look at the fretboard.
Oh, amazing. And is it all hollow body or just
It's just chambered. Yeah,
wow.
Chambered with Lala pickups in it, Lala humbuckers.
Beautiful.
This thing barks and spits fire.
Beautiful.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah, and
look
you play a lot of hollow body guitars.
Yeah.
In fact, I just recently watched that, it's that Prince tribute, and you were playing the Purple Rain solo and just blowing.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a red PRS.
Yeah, it was a PRS. Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe it was this one right here. No, it was it's a private stock PRS.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Fabulous.
Cool,
man.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, just killer. So, just to bring you up to speed, viewers who may not know, prior to Justin Timberlake, Mike was with the New Power Generation, so, you know, did his time with Prince, and I mean, if nothing else happens in your life, that's already the coolest resume you could ever hope for.
Hey, man, getting with Prince was a milestone in my career. I got with Prince in 96.
Wow.
And just an amazing, so many stories I could tell you that just are amazing.
Yeah.
Working with him was quite a journey, because you go in a good musician, but you leave him a much better musician.
He,
you know, there's just.
I bet.
But I did have one of the high points of my career, besides playing with Justin and Prince, was sitting in with Steve Vai on the G3.
Oh, really?
We were playing, and Prince was playing in San Francisco somewhere, San Jose, and Steve came to meet him. And then he invited us to the gig the next day. So next day I get some guy shining a light, so we came to his gig the next night. It was some guy shining a light, and he said, Steve wants you to play. So I said, okay, I'll come up with it. They threw some strings on one of his guitars. Next thing I know, I'm standing on stage with Robert Fripp, Joe Satriani, standing next to me, Steve Vai on the other side, and my knees were like. So we were trading solos, man, and it was, I could have died the next day and life would have been fine. That was a good day.
What guitar was it, one of the gems?
It was one of the G3s, yeah, I was playing, I have a, he actually gave me a gem for my birthday. I don't have it here right now. But that was a hot point.
Okay, well, it just did get cooler. Just when I said it could get cooler.
Kenny Wayne Shepherd, Fripp, Vai, and Satriani. Jeez. Man, and I was just standing there like, oh my God, lightning could hit me now. And this.
That had to be a lot of notes.
We did about three blues songs and we just traded 12 bars, you know, and it was cool. It was cool. Very cool. Yeah.
Hey, I know you got to go soon, but can you tell us about your amps right quick?
Oh, yeah. I use, I play several amps. Depending on the gig, I use Marshall amps. I use, Hughes and Kettner amps have been my main go-to amp for quite a few years.
Yeah.
Also, this tour, we're using Custom Audio. We do Friedman. Blackstar is a new amp company I just joined this year. Blackstar is doing amazing things with their HTK? Or it's a
HT.
HT, yeah, HT2. That amp's amazing, but I'm using Shure Custom Audio heads right now, sir. Custom audio heads.
Great.
The PT100s.
And running them to what heads are you running into?
No, those are the heads right there.
Okay.
And we're running them into a wedge, a custom wedge we have right here.
Okay.
Those are 100 watt heads, man. Those things. The reason we settled on the, not settled, the reason we chose the Sur PT100s is because I need to have a three channel amp. I need a clean, a crunch, and a high gain lead.
Yeah.
The Friedman, the Hughes and Kettner, you know, the Marshall, we couldn't get that combination. I love all those amps though, but this was the amp we chose.
Yeah. Okay, that's awesome. We'll show you some stills of the amps, and right after sound check, we'll get up stage and look at your pedal board.
Okay, hey, you know what? I want to show you guys, if you don't mind, I can show you one more guitar real quick. There's a luthier.
Yeah, please. We love this stuff. Luthier. Mike, there's never too many guitars.
There's a new luthier.
You know the rules.
There's a luthier in Croatia.
Wow.
Makagi Guitars. He's a new kid. He's doing some great things. This is one of his prototype guitars.
Wow.
I had him put Seth Lover pickups in them with coil taps. This thing sounds amazing. He's, wow. He's really new in the game, so I'm giving him a plug right now.
Well, that's
Makagi Guitars.
If you're gonna have one endorsement, that's a really good endorsement to have.
Okay, so we're gonna go look at some pedals, and I'll show you guys the rig upstairs.
All cool. Right? All right, now we're on stage with this board. Tell me about this thing.
Well, this has all the stuff on it that I need for this particular gig, depending on the gig. But
sure.
I do, this is my pretty much primary setup. I have some pedals in here that I have to always have.
Right.
Like the EBS stuff. Well, let's start here.
Start kind of with your signal where you come in.
I come in, actually, the first thing in is the RotoVibe, Dunlop RotoVibe.
Oh, wow,
cool. Because I have some stuff running through an effects loop as well.
Okay.
So I'm going into the Dunlop RotoVibe, out of that, into this Friedman Dirty Shirley.
Oh, okay.
And then I go into, I'm coming out of that into this EBS Bass IQ. That's where I get that envelope.
Oh,
really? Prince and me love that quack, that duck. We should call it quacking like a duck. That quacky envelope filter. Then I'll come out of that, back into the delay. Delay is the last thing to chain.
Okay.
But the rest of these are in an effects loop.
Okay.
So I'm running in an effects loop. I have the wah-wah, strangely enough.
Wow.
Because Prince, when I started with him, he didn't like any dirt in your clean sound. Your clean had to be shimmering clean.
Really?
So I put the wah-wah in the effects loop.
Wow.
Because it's shimmering clean.
Yeah.
Also, we have a reverb in the effects loop. We have the Micro Pog and Effects Loop because it's really big for the octave stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm using a Coco Boost to push the mids on my lead stuff.
Okay. Yeah.
So when I take solos, I click that on, and I get a little more cut through
sure.
the mix. Visual volume, double tap delay. You know, you got the regular. I use that on a regular setting.
Right.
It's just trails. And this one I use to do effects with.
Yeah.
And I manually change the tempo.
Yeah, just tap
yeah,
in.
Yeah, tap in the tempo. Yeah.
So nothing's like MIDI triggered. It's
no, nothing's MIDI triggered.
Old school.
No. It's all old school.
It.
All doing a dance, you know.
Yeah.
And EBS, Dynaverb. I love EBS pedals, man.
Oh,
EBS
yeah.
bass pedals. Are great on guitar.
Yeah, right. Yeah. That's kind of surprising
yeah,
that you.
They're great.
And that's been since the Prince days, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, we all used to use those, that envelope filter.
And then over there, you're changing your amps.
I'm changing my amp. I'm clean, crunch, and that's fire breathing.
Okay.
Fire breathing, high gain, you know?
Okay, great. So speaking of amps, you had a good Prince story.
Yeah. I have a large variety of amps that I play myself. Like I mentioned earlier, I love Marshall stuff. I love Black Star amps. I'm an endorser of those guys. I'm an endorser of Paul Reed Smith amps. Also, Hughes and Kettner I've been playing for quite a long time. But this particular tour, the custom audio has worked out great. But back when I was with Prince, we were using racks full of processors, and he had that Soldano rack unit that had the automated faders and all that. And we were in London, and the voltage was acting up. Takumi's his tech. I know every guitar player in the world knows Takumi. You know Takumi, don't you?
I know the name.
Okay.
We've not
Takumi
met.
Takumi is one of the greatest techs besides these guys here, Toby Keith, Ian Keith and Toby.
Good.
Toby Bean,
give
they're great
a shout
techs.
Out, that's
yeah.
great.
And Cody, they're all great techs.
Yeah.
But Takumi is one of the best in the business. He'll even tell you that.
Yeah.
But so Prince's rig went up in flames.
Oh man, like literally.
Because of the voltage in London.
Oh,
he was trying to get a buzz out, and that was not acceptable.
Yeah.
And his rig just went up. Takumi fell down to his knees because Prince was on his way up to come play. They're like, the man's on the move, he's on the way to the stage. They're like, hold. And like, you can't hold Prince. He wanted to come play.
Yeah.
So they were standing there freaking out. I said, let him play through my amp because he only plays on the first song. And then by then you can set him up another amp. He's coming to the stage, right?
Yeah.
They're like, yeah, great idea. So they plugged him into my rig. We're doing the first song. He comes over and says, my guitar sounds amazing tonight, doesn't it? And then he finished the first song and they plugged him into a Fender Twin. He never knew. To his death, he never knew. But it was just so funny that he said that night. My guitar sounds amazing tonight. I said, yeah, because you're playing through my rig.
did you ever tell him?
No, he never knew.
Oh,
no, Takumi would have been fired.
Yeah, yeah. Well, now he knows.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
He knows now. Rest in peace, brother. Hey,
man, well, what a pleasure. I can't thank you enough, Mike. Yeah, that
thank
was
you.
Great.
Yeah.
All right, we're under the stage right now. I'm with Elliot Ives, and Elliot right now is holding this maybe one of the most badass Telecasters I've ever seen.
Thank
Coming
you,
out of your hometown, right?
Absolutely. This is from Ferner Fine Instruments. Kevin Ferner made this. This is his Power T.
Wow.
It has this P9 in it, and it's kind of, he, you know, does some crazy exotic stuff as well.
Right.
But just really makes unique pieces, really cares about them. Not only can you look at it, but you can pick it up and just tell that, you know, it's made with, you know, precision and care and love and
right.
all that good stuff. But,
yeah, man, it's I love that staple
yeah.
P90, man.
Yeah, it's amazing because it's like, you know, certain tellies, you want that quack out of a telly, you know.
Right.
And, this thing will quack. You know, but you can get all these other tones, especially working with this P90.
Is that a three-way switch or?
It's a four-way switch.
Oh, okay. So you've got some kind of mystery tone.
There's a true bypass.
Oh, wow.
Which I don't really use a lot of, but it's usually either in between. I usually use it on this setting, or all the way that way.
Wow.
And it's just like two completely different guitars in one.
Wow, beautiful. All right, cool. Well, that's going to be tough to beat, but let's see. I know you mainly as a Les Paul guy.
Exactly.
Like,
that's the
like
main, that's the main thing.
Going all the way back, right?
That's the main thing, yeah. Main guy is this 78 Les
How
Paul.
How long have you had that?
Oh, gosh. Not that long. Maybe 6 or 7 years.
Okay. High miles, though. You put
high
some,
miles, and yeah. I have other Les Pauls in my studio in Memphis that I played for years. But
yeah.
This one was all original. We switched this pickup out, but it's just, you know, it's heavy as hell. It's from the 70s. It does what it's supposed to do.
I know when I picked it up, I thought, my God, I could not play this for more than 3 songs. Yeah, it is so heavy.
I have serious issues with my pain in my neck, and sometimes my hand can't feel it, but it's okay, man. We do it, you know, the sacrifices we make.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
So yeah, that's the main guy, and then it's back up, and what I'm just gonna start using some more, because we just switched the pickups out on it, is an 81 Black Beauty.
Oh wow, that's great.
You know,
man.
And Delana, who makes the owns Third Power and did my amps,
she just put these
mag frags in that we were just down here playing with it. Absolutely insane, especially with the head.
Right. You know? I have a mag frag in my neck of a Les Paul, and it's unbelievable. It's like
I'm looking forward to playing more with this, but it's really heavy too.
Yes, equally heavy. I couldn't.
And the pickups
it.
Are heavy too. like we've just added some more weight, but that's okay. The sacrifices we make, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's it. And then other than that, I just on a few songs I play the Strat. Just because I did a lot of Strat on the album.
Sure, you kind of have to.
And you have to have that sound. But Toby outfitted it with this print from Nike. This is Justin has his own shoe. What's that shoe called?
The JTH.
The JTH.
The Tinker Jordan.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. So he changed, you know, painted the pickups and got this print from Nike so I could have the JTH guitar.
Did Fender just love it? Did they freak out when they saw
pretty
it?
Pretty much. In fact, there's a lot of things we could do with it.
Yeah, you should.
Working on it, man.
Yeah,
there's nothing, you know, Toby's put some TLC in this thing and it's just a Strat, and basically.
Seymour Duncan, the Texas Hots. MJ at Seymour Duncan custom made him some.
Yeah.
The Texas Hots, that's what's in there.
Yeah.
So it gave it a lot more balls.
It gives it some more balls, so they do have to get heavy with it at the end of the show. But yeah, it's just...
And it's hardtail, too. We hardtail.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Not a whammy guy.
Really just meat and potatoes. You'll see tonight. Yeah. Like, it's... I let Mike do all the fancy stuff.
And acoustic-wise, you're...
Yep. Using Gibsons and Martins.
Yeah. Okay, there's a couple over here.
Yeah. And this is pretty new to this. I'm gonna let Toby tell you more about these, because he kind of got me into this.
M36, and we were using only Gibson products, and then we wanted some more variety, because we wanted to do a little something different, and I worked with El King for a while, and El personally made the phone call to Martin, and then they were like, we want to send you some stuff, because we have the fire pit scene, so we need a lot of different voices on the guitars, and we're doing the Say Something song, and then Montana, so we have an M36, and then we have a Martin D18.
Wow.
Yeah, D18.
Love the D18.
Yeah, the D18.
Yeah, this is amazing.
So this is on some of the more open chord stuff that we're using, and then we also have, we're using the Gibson, the HP, the 835, which we had. I mean, this one's cool because we're using that one. So we go back to Say Something on this one sometimes because it's got the sound.
Yeah, it's got the same pickup that Chris is using.
Oh, great. That's great.
And the FU Tone gave us all the brass pins for this one too. So this one sounds...
It's got its own thing, but I'm really loving the HP 835.
Man, okay, so when you're around that fire, there's literally a fire on one of the...
Yes, tell me about it.
They have 3 stages, right?
There are four.
4 stages, so on the 4th stage... Okay. Cool right here?
Yeah.
That's the other fire pit.
This is for the fire pit, yeah.
Okay, so when you're around that fire pit, there's 4 stages, and there's literally a fire.
A literal fire that comes out from under the ground.
600 degrees.
That can't help your tuning.
I'm a consummate tuner. I use this snark on the back of it, and there's times when I've even told Justin, I mean, like, you know, there's a couple intros now, and my stuff's just... It's constantly going sharp, and there's sometimes when the air conditioning is blowing towards me.
Right.
The thing's hot.
Yeah, right.
And I can feel the tuning pegs start to burn, and then, you know, I'm playing a nylon, so these are, nylon strings, and
they
want to melt.
Yeah.
But we get it done. Yeah. How about that? We get it done. And
Did you ever get the look? The like?
No, because I'm trying to constantly keep it in tune. But
the rad
thing about this, when he does the fire pit, is that he's got a volume control. And so he does have the snark on
there. Yeah, so I can just turn it off.
So he kind of comes in and out, and he finds his places really well, because The thing is, the other thing about that stage they don't tell you is we have these nitrogen tanks under all these stages. So there's cold, low-lying fog three songs before we go out there.
Oh.
So I literally have to sprint out there when he's up here and pull Justin's guitar, his guitar, and Swole has a stand-up bass out front of the stage, because then it gets subjected to 30-degree temperature.
Oh.
And there's been one night we went out there, and both Justin's guitar and his J45, the strings were slammed on the neck in the show. And we're like, so we have to go out there, wrap them in blankets, wait for that song to go over, then push them back under there and heat them back up before the fire comes.
It's
to try to get them close.
People don't realize what we go through, what we torment ourselves with just to make this thing happen. You know what I mean? But I really wanted to play. I was classically trained, and I really wanted to, you know, have a different timbre out there, because there's so much steel string stuff going on. Mike's up here playing electric. So I really just wanted to have something different. And Godin does a great job with these multi-acts.
Yeah, those are great. And you, now you played dobro on the record as well,
some,
right?
Some, yeah.
Are you doing any live?
Or? No, you know, I would double acoustic parts with it.
Yeah.
And so some of those we just don't do.
Yeah.
Some of them, they're in the box.
Yeah. When you got to make, that's live music, you have to make compromises when there's all those parts.
You got to. And we embellish enough to where there's enough going on to where you're not going to miss it. You
know? God, that is a slamming band, man.
Oh, thanks.
How many people were on stage?
There's 15 in the band.
Wow.
And we have six dancers and Justin, so that's, you know.
Yeah, and then a lot of guests.
You know, and like tonight we have a guest, and it's great to be able to change it up, you know.
Oh, it's amazing.
And give people what they want. So.
Okay, so the guitars are killer. Let's talk about your amps. They're a little buried, but we got some photos of them. So just tell us kind of what you're running.
Yeah, you know, it's a funny story. I have a studio in Memphis, and my production partner used to work out here at Sound Kitchen.
Yeah.
And it was years ago, and he was out in the parking lot, and this person ran up to him and was like, I make the best amps in the world.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about. And Delana over at Third Power. Yeah. And
she does make amazing amps. So.
Unreal. Like, I don't think I'll ever play anything else again because of that. I mean, as far as this gig's concerned, you know? But literally, we have a cabinet, and she had given him, you know, a cabinet, and that's like our go-to that we mic up in the studio and
the
use for every head.
Triangle.
Correct.
Thing. Right, yeah.
And so we were sitting there before, you know, getting all these amps and playing all this stuff before this tour, because I used to play some 278 JMPs.
Yeah.
And they just, you know.
Like you're saying, meat and potatoes.
They're meat and potatoes, but I didn't want to bring those back out because they're just hard to, you know, they're all different, all those Marshalls. And then when we go other places, like, they all don't sound the same and blah, blah, blah. So I wanted to try something new and a little bit more, you know, forward thinking. And so he, my production partner was like, why don't you call Delano over at Third Power? And I did, and we made a connection instantly.
Yeah.
And I'd say both heads the same, the, doing the 40-watt Citizen gain and two channels, all I need.
Yeah.
We don't need anything else other than that. And they work great with Les Pauls and, you know, we even work for the chimey funk stuff.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, did you have those on the Super Bowl show?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because I remember Delano was calling me and said, I think my amps could be at the Super Bowl. I'm like, well, God.
Yeah,
awesome.
We had a cabinet for that.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it got struck at the last second.
For
camera and
right.
He changed a different thing. It just wasn't going to get seen.
Well, stuff on stage, it is what it
and
is.
And if you saw it, you know, you see that it was everywhere. Right? It was like five stages there too. So
that had to be a pretty amazing game.
It was awesome. That was definitely
that's
up there
a
in
big
the books,
one.
Man.
Yeah. So what are you running your acoustic guitars into?
Oh, using the Hughes and Kettner, the Air One.
The Air One?
Yeah.
I saw your...
Yeah, you're making fun
of
my cardboard box. But the reason it's like that is we're using the Air pre-DI. We're using these Neve DIs for the acoustics because they sound killer.
Yeah.
And then one day, Mike has to have an amp on stage when we do some of the smaller stuff. And so he was always using the Fishman Loud Box. And Hughes and Kettner sent us this Air One, and we liked the way it sounded. Our sound guy loves the preamp on it. So we built that into Mike's rig. If you saw Mike's rig, like, Ian designed the case, and it came in that.
Yeah.
We decided later to add ours, so we had already built the case. So we just got a hole in the back of the box. But it works. I mean, the case for it rides. It's fucking, it works.
You got like $30 million worth of gear, and that stuff's riding in a box.
Man. That was the big
whatever
one.
You gotta do.
We spent so much money on all this gear, I didn't want to go ask for another case, and it rides right there, and it works, and fine.
Yeah, I love it.
I had to muffle it anyways because it was blowing our percussion tech out, so we just said left in the box.
Yeah, down and dirty.
Hey, man.
Yeah.
So we get the tone.
Okay, so now we're on this stage at your pedal board.
Yep.
Where does your signal come in?
Comes in over here, and it just goes on and hits this.
Okay.
The tuner is off that.
Okay, so hurts that Ernie Ball,
yeah,
Ernie Ball volume
pedal.
Okay, and then
there's a distortion that I use sometimes, but mainly use the amp distortion,
which
is just a two-channel amp.
Yeah.
That's
right. And you're using
I'm more of the meat and potatoes guy. It's either spanky clean or super heavy.
Right, right.
There's a couple things that are in between. So then I have a couple different distortions on that Palisades pedal.
Okay, Palisade
that works well.
Has multiple. Okay.
Yeah. So there's two channels and with a boost.
Okay. Great.
It's kind of like a tube screamer.
Okay.
Like,
yeah.
You know, glorified tube
screamer. Yeah. Again, meat and potatoes.
Meat and potatoes.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. So what else we got?
So then we go to the wah.
Great.
It's just, you know, regular old.
Yeah.
Dunlop. Meat and potatoes.
Yeah, right. Old school.
Right. And then I use the Eventide, the mod factor, and the time factor. And we have the time factor. Very rarely do I use delay on this tour. I used it
really?
A lot on the last one.
Yeah.
And now I'm doing a lot. I did all the music on the records, guitars on the records, which we did a ton of, you know, acoustics, dobros, classicals.
Cool.
You know.
Yeah.
More of those instruments. So I'm playing a lot of acoustic on this.
Yeah.
Where Mike's doing, you know, most of the electric work. But I use those. So I really don't even ever turn this guy on. I've just had it forever.
It's there if I need it. It's like your talisman.
Exactly. And then I use this Dispatch Master from Earthquaker Devices as like an insane, really over the top effecty reverb that also has a delay.
Oh, cool.
So that's kind of like for special occasions.
Cool.
And then, of course, the whammy. Yeah, I've never been able to just liked having a whammy here.
Yeah.
And we do a lot of it back and forth, Mike and I, and he's a dive bomber, I just do it here. I also use the octave features on there.
Yeah.
I always put an octave on lower just to really make stuff growl, single note stuff.
Well, it was a long time Les Paul guy. There's no whammies on Les Pauls.
Right, exactly.
I mean,
no, there's not.
Yeah. Well, man, can't thank you enough for joining us today, taking us
through
the rig.
Congratulations.
This is like the most amazing tour I've ever seen.
I still have to pinch myself sometimes.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, it's a bless, man. Thank you so much for coming
out. Yeah, not bad for a kid from Memphis, right?
Hey, man, come on. Thank you, man. Thank
you. Okay, now we're with Cody the Roadie, who is handling JT's guitars. Cody, thanks for joining us, man.
Man, my pleasure.
So,
my pleasure.
So you're dealing with these J200s.
Yep, this is a SJ200 True Vintage. Man, these things are so awesome. These are good examples of them too.
Amazing guitars, yeah.
Yeah, these are really stable. Using those, we swapped them out with Fishman Infinity pickups.
Oh, right, those are supposed to be amazing.
Man, super transparent.
Yeah.
Sounds like you just listen to a guitar. It's pretty awesome.
Right.
What else? We have Dunlop strings, Dunlop picks.
Capos?
Valia capos. These things are great, really love them. And then the really cool part that everyone loves is heavy leather out of Los Angeles made us these custom straps that with the logo on it and Pendleton wool in it.
Okay, that's pretty badass.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah. So are you running that into an amp or anything like that? Or
no,
just a DI?
We run it through a Shure Axient digital wireless. Direct to front of house and monitors, so it's a pure digital chain.
Yeah,
it gets converted once and that's it.
That's great. And running that one and a second?
Yep, we have a second one, same guitar, identical.
Okay, they might look identical.
Yeah.
But do they behave identically?
So, this one's the stable one. Got that other strap there too.
Oh, great.
This one's really stable.
Yeah.
And I love it. And our other one, we have a part of the show that where everyone's around a campfire.
You're right.
So going from, indoor hockey arenas where it's pretty chilly to begin with, and then putting this thing in front of a fire, It's not ideal.
Yeah. Yeah. That is the worst possible scenario.
It's pretty much the worst scenario, but we've been, you know, it's a lot of upkeep and maintenance, but it works every night, you know.
So far. Yeah. Not to jinx it.
Yeah. It's been good so far. Yeah,
that's great. Well, man, thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us. Cody the Roadie. Hey, everybody. Thanks for watching the latest Rig Rundown. Guess what? Every week, we upload a brand new Rig Rundown to PremierGuitar.com a full week before it's available here on YouTube. So to get your gear fix as soon as humanly possible, go to PremierGuitar.com/Rig Rundown. And while you're there, be sure to sign up to get an email notification so you're the first to know as soon as each week's new Rig Rundown is available. Cheers. See you soon.